Open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 1. And, you know, it's interesting. This song, Silent Night, says, all is calm and all is bright. All right? Really, when you study the Scriptures, you're going to find that that really wasn't true in Jesus' day. And we're going to look at this whole passage, and we're going to look at how the cross and Jesus' birth come together. Okay? And our society is really geared towards all the elation of Christmas time. And even songs say, this is why Jesus came, you know, that kind of thing. And yet we forget the cross. And as we read this, you're going to be able to see a whole different perspective of what happened. Matthew chapter 1, starting in verse 18. It says, this is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit, because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace. He had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be a child, and will give him birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked him, where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him. When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them, where is the Christ was to be born? In Bethlehem in Judea, they replied, for this is what was the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel. Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, and so that I too may go and worship him. After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother, Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. They opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and incense and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. When he had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Get up, he said, take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him. So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night, and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, out of Egypt I called my son. When Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious, and he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time he had learned from the Magi. Then what was said through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. A voice is heard in Ramah, weeping in great mourning. Rachel weeping for her children, refusing to be comforted, because they are no more. After Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, get up, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel. For those who were trying to take the child's life are dead. So he got up, took the child and his mother went to the land of Israel. But when he had heard that Archelaus was reigning in Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. Having been warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee, and he went and lived in a town called Nazareth. So was fulfilled what was said through the prophets. He will be called a Nazarene. You know, you look at this account and you realize that there is just a lot of turmoil and conflict as a result of Jesus coming in. All right, his whole introduction into the world was one of conflict.
Yeah.
Okay, and we forget what it took. What God had to go through to allow Jesus to come to earth, go through his life, and then be killed on a cross. You know, Matthew, he writes this, his whole book is like this. He writes this, and it's more factual than emotion, okay, because of the audience that he's preaching to. And, you know, we look at this whole thing, and there was joy there, and I'm not taking the joy out of Christmas. Boy, thanks a lot, Jay. That was a fun service. You know, what a bummer. That kind of thing. There was a lot of joy. The angels were rejoicing, and the shepherds, and the wise men, and all that. Angels coming to Joseph, angels coming to Mary. Incredible things, miraculous things are happening. But also with that is terror and pain. All right, let's back up to verse 18. And you find out that Mary's a teenager, okay, and she's pregnant. All right, can you imagine the conflict there? Right off the bat. And she says, hey, God told me that I was going to be pregnant and it was through him.
Yeah.
All right, now who's going to buy into that one? Okay?
Yeah.
No one. All right? Now, you got Joseph going, what is going on?
Yeah.
All right? Joseph's pledged to be married and she's pregnant. Okay? She comes to him, tells the story. I don't know, honey. Sounds a little out there to me. You know? And you can imagine what's going on in his heart also. And so what does he decide to do? He's going to divorce her quietly.
Yeah.
All right? Let's not create any more embarrassment for this girl or for myself, for our families. Let's just do this quietly. All right? So an angel comes, talks to Joseph, says, listen, it's the real deal, buddy. And Joseph, being a godly man, listens to the angel. Okay? It'd be kind of cool having an angel come and talk to you. But you can imagine what that means for them. There's going to be strife. Doesn't matter what you tell people, they're not going to buy into it. So you got this stigma already on your marriage. All right? Then, as we go on, in chapter 2, you've got Herod. All right? And it says, these wise men come and they tell, in verse 3, it says, when King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. All right, now, Herod is a Jew, all right, and he's a leader for Rome, but he's still a Jew. He knows what the Messiah is supposed to be. The Messiah, the Christ, is the Savior, all right? You would think that he would be excited about it. You know, hey, we've been waiting for the Messiah for hundreds of years. He's coming, amen. This means deliverance for the Jews. Was that a spirit? No, not there. All right? And it also says, he was disturbed with all Jerusalem with him. It wasn't like Jerusalem was fired up about this whole situation either. Imagine this. God is coming in the world and nobody's excited about it except for a pack of shepherds and a few wise men. All right? And so you got this going on. And then, he tries to trick the Magi, alright? And then what happens then is, they end up escaping to Egypt, alright? They take off. Now, they're a young couple, they just have a baby. Is that the easiest thing to do? And not just a minor, let's take off to another city, let's go to another country, in another continent, okay? Egypt. All right, so this is not a minor thing. They've got to run for their lives, okay? Because why? They're going to kill your baby. Oh, that's intense. Imagine the turmoil, the conflict in their hearts. All right? In verse 16, It says, when Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious, and he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time he had learned from the Magi. All right, now imagine that being on the old Christmas card. Okay? He gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem, 2 years and younger. I mean, that's the reality of what's going on. Now, this is an amazing thing when you think about what's going on here. It'd be like President Bush getting infuriated and saying, kill all the boys 2 years and younger in the United States. What do you think the reaction of the people would be? It would be horrible. There'd be, like it says, an outcry. Or even just the state of Illinois. Now, imagine how the people feel about Jesus now. Okay? You know, my child died because of him. All right? Bring this couple back to Jerusalem? I don't think so. You're who? Can you imagine Jesus growing up with this stigmatism on him? That people know it's because of you, my brother died. You know, my child died because of you. Imagine Jesus, we're all the two-year-old kids, my age. The two-year-old boys to play with. They're not around. Why? Because of you. All right, now you see that his life was one of turmoil just to even to start off with. And so anyways, they decide to return to Nazareth. And what happens there? Find out, hey, actually they were going to return and go to Bethlehem, but they find out that Herod's son is in charge, and so they're going to flee from him again. So there's no settling down. There's all this running around. And finally they go to Nazareth. You know, I think the thing is, we've got to look at this passage, and what is the ultimate that he says? In verse 21, it says, so he got up, took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard... Wait, I'm in the wrong chapter. Verse 21. Chapter 1, verse 21. It says, she will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. And really, that's supposed to be the message right there. It also says, Herod said he was the Christ. He's the Savior, the Messiah. And then finally it says in verse 6, it says, for out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people, Israel. And I think we got to understand that, you know, even in spite of all this, the birth and all that stuff and the trauma and the intensity of what was going on, God says, listen, this is your salvation. This is going to be the person that's going to rescue you from what? Your sin. And I don't think people thought on that level back then. They were looking for a Savior to come in and rescue them from the Romans, right? Free them up. And God's saying, no, I've got a greater plan for you. But it's not without conflict. And I think his whole life was marked with conflict. And I think for us, you know, we look at Christmas, and once again, I'm not trying to be the Scrooge here, and but we got to understand, my kids are looking at me, and they think I'm the Scrooge anyways, right? Yeah. Guys. Anyways, the whole idea being that we got to understand the ramifications of his life from the start up. And when we walk with Jesus, all right, there's going to be conflict. And the closer we come to Jesus, the more violent it gets.
Yeah.
That's just the reality of a walk with God. You go against the grain. And I really think that Satan knew. You know, if you study out Revelation, you find that it says that Satan was ready for the birth of Jesus to devour him. And I think we understand that if you really want to hurt a father, you go after their kids. And that's what Satan was trying to do right from the start. They knew Jesus' coming was trouble. And he went after Jesus. And he went after his family. And he went after the country. Killing children 2 years and younger. That's intense. And yet God says, listen, there's sacrifice for freedom. And I think what we got to do is we got to understand, without these sacrifices, there is no freedom from sin. There is no freedom from guilt. There's no changed lives without sacrifice. Does anybody naturally change? It just happens that they just, I've overcome this sin. Oh, that was easy. What's the next thing? It doesn't happen like that. It takes pain, heartache, and a willingness to suffer to get there. Now, we've been in people's conversions, and we've helped them through it, and we realize there's no easy conversions. People just don't go from a lifestyle pain in a sinful way to rejoicing through freedom from the cross. Once again, we got to realize conflict, pain, but rejoicing. And the rejoicing isn't just on the Christmas day that he's born. Rejoicing comes to the cross. Refreshment and joy through repentance. So as we close here and we pray, I want you to think about the freedoms that you have received through the suffering. And I know we forget, we think about the cross suffering, we don't realize the suffering Jesus went through his whole life and anybody who knew him. And I think for us, in our minds, we've got to realize, I need to suffer too for God's children. I need to suffer too for the freedom of other people and show God that I am grateful for all that he has done. Let's pray. God, thanks so much for the scriptures. And God, really, when we put it in the light of the scriptures of what happened that time, it wasn't an easy thing. It was a painful time. And yet, joy is the result. And God, we know that you suffered greatly. You watched your children suffer throughout the whole of Jesus' life. And I pray, God, that we too will see the sacrifices you went through and the pain and heartache, so that we can encourage you by our lives, that we can encourage you with what we do. I pray we do look at the cross, we do look at the suffering, and I pray it motivates us to change, to be different, to be a great light. In Jesus' name, amen.